Start off smiling so that then when it comes in.
Hello! Ruby just told me to smile. She was like, start off smiling. All right, stage mom car.
All right, I'm the one who's editing. And so far, some weeks it starts off with you going.
Okay, I'm not blind.
You're like, what? Because I go, hello!
Yeah, but you, I think because I'm always like, oh my God, that's a very high-pitched way to start a podcast. Hello! But yeah, hi. I'm smiling for the listeners. Can you hear it in my voice?
Okay, right. This Welcome. Week's episode, there was more bullying of Ruby.
Yeah.
Because we have the wonderful Alice India.
Our ex, another member of the household where we live together.
Yeah.
So it was all three of us, and me and Alice verified a lot of my experience of living with Ruby. Do you know what I realized, and we didn't mention it in the podcast, is that both me and Alice moved out at like exactly the same. Do you remember that? Like it was 2 days apart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, we both got the fuck out of there.
No. But it was a lovely episode. In
Wonderful.
It, we also have yet again another scandalous question.
Genuinely. I didn't think the Emily story would ever be bested that was in the Patreon, like the bonus Patreon episode that we have from Emily. This one is, I mean, yeah. So, For safeguarding reasons, we've had to put it behind a Patreon.
So there is Patreon exclusive content. Of course, we have exclusive Patreon content, which is Tea Break, which you get for free.
For free. You just got to sign up.
You just click follow on our Patreon and you get that. Mm-hmm. And then this one is behind a paywall.
Paywall, because it's spicy.
But it's
spicy and risky.
It's £3 a month is our Patreon tier, which is like
nothing. Less than a meal deal, less than a coffee, less than a half a pint.
Yeah,
I would say. Definitely. I think.
Yeah, I would say less than half a pint.
I don't drink half pints because I'm not a fucking pussy.
But that's available to you.
Yes. Without further ado,
I think we'll introduce the podcast.
Enjoy. Well, welcome, Alice India, to the Odd Jobs podcast.
Hello, Alice.
Alice, we were talking, listeners, about sponsorships, and basically, obviously, we need to try and get a sponsorship. Alice is sponsored by Monster Energy.
The refreshing taste of Lando Norris Monster. Feel the melanin yuzu as you race through life.
Wait, is that actually the tagline?
No, but it's...
What?
No,
melanin yuzu.
Spoiler, I'm fairly certain that Alice has worked in copywriting.
Oh, yeah. That would come
have
up.
Indeed. I'll just turn that way.
There you go. Get it all in there for Lando.
You've got to hold it like with the tips of your finger.
Oh, look, the LN.
And do the tappy thing.
That is actually quite good, the way his name works like that.
Lando Norris is my dad's favourite F1 driver.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he the lad from Bristol or England? Yeah, yeah,
that's why my dad likes him so much.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I know so much about F1.
Anyway, but
do
we
you?
No.
Oh. No. I was just like, sorry, one second.
See, what? It's a sport. All the time. Catherine will just like say something and I'll be like, wow, I believe you're telling the truth because you're telling me something,
yeah,
your
but
friend.
That's the sort of thing
and then
you
she goes, no.
Got
no.
you.
Firstly.
I used to live in where did you say? Brazil. And I was like, that makes sense because you used to live in America and you've lived in an island and now you live in England. So yeah, you like to live around the world. And you were like, no, because I never live in Brazil and I never do Spanish dancing.
Oh, that was when there was two truths and a lie, wasn't it?
No, we weren't playing any games. You just started lying to me.
I said I lived...
And now I don't trust the world.
It wasn't Brazil. I know what I said.
What did you say?
I said I lived in Cuba for... Because I stole... Here's the best thing about a lie. And I am a very good liar. I am. I just am. And I love lying.
You just say
I
everything
so confidently. I love telling a good
lie.
Harmless lies like that. Sure, what harm am I doing? I think the problem in the world now is that everyone's become very anti-lie. Mm. And everyone's like, the truth, like... Da, da, da. And I'm like, the problem is people aren't distinguishing between lies that matter and lies that don't matter.
Yeah, that's real. Mm.
So like me making up a fake bit of lore to Ruby just because it's fun to deceive her, right? It's the same way it's fun to, like, you love pranking people. Like, that's, it's in the same vein. My pranks are telling you, and also, you require so little convincing. You just immediately believed that I lived in Cuba for, I think, 2 months and learned to salsa dance, is what I said.
Yeah,
that was because my best friend did that. So the best way to lie is to take something, like, that is true in some things and then just change some of the details. So, like, take someone else's story, make it your own, easy to do. Another lie I did was in my old workplace. I told Ophelia, who you guys know, and one or two of the others, that I was a backup singer for Irish people who understand this. I said that I was a backup singer for Mickey Hart during the Eurovision. And they were like, exactly. English people like, who's Mickey Hart? I was like, oh, he was Ireland's Great White Hope one year of the Eurovision.
Oh.
He had a green sparkly guitar.
Like, this is like,
and they were
saying,
like, serious. And then they tried to look it up, and obviously he did have. And they were like, what age were you? I was like, oh, I was a teenager. And they're like, how did that happen? And I was like, oh, I was in a choir, and the choir director like knew the music director of Mickey Hart. And I just literally off the dome started saying this one day in the office, and they believed it for ages.
Well, this is like me saying that I played tambourine for Korn. That I like, any yes. Anytime Korn comes up on my feeds now, I go, oh my god, I played tambourine with them last year. Like, I just like apropos of nothing,
it's
just
harmless.
I just I've started just telling people that's yeah. what I've been doing.
Yeah. Also, here's the thing that I find interesting about that is I've seen online that people believe this, and I'm like, but Korn don't have a tambourine player. No. Mickey Hart had a backup singer for his Eurovision entry. So like, do you know when you're like, it's what I love is that people are, that this is why we need to bring back lying.
Yeah,
it's because someone can't figure out that Korn didn't have any fucking tambourine players.
Yeah.
They're that like, the you lads online. Need to be lied to so that you learn how to fucking figure out a lie fairly easily. I think the problem is now everyone's like, truth or lie. I'm like, no. You need to be able to show some deductive reasoning.
Yeah, but
critical reading.
I'm sure I could play tambourine for Korn.
I'm absolutely certain we could all play tambourine for anyone we fucking want.
I'm sorry.
To.
One sec. What was that face?
Yeah.
Could I not play tambourine?
I like
for
you
new
believe
metal
I
legend
moved to
Korn?
Cuba and salsa dance for 2 months, but Alice can't shake a little tambourine.
There, I even came up with a dance routine to go with it. So actually, there's a specific song that I would be excellent at.
There we go. Get the mic in there. As someone who's not that familiar with Korn's discography,
it doesn't feel
but
like
is aware of the general general genre upon
the
which they are in, that did not sound at all like a Korn song. I'll be honest.
How's it? It's like
that. Like Shimmy Shake didn't feel very Korn.
So it's like way. Clap, I'm coming under, hooray,
Again, I'm getting folk singer vibes off this. Is it not like, way, I'm coming under?
No, Jonathan.
No?
Jonathan,
is that not better?
Jonathan Davies is actually, I would say, quite melodic.
Okay.
They also did a cover of that
well,
song that's like, well, yeah, we're yeah. very close.
Close personal friends.
Close personal friend, Jonathan Davies. I mean, he did, well, as you know from the story, Make Me Sleep outside of the tour bus, but that's a whole other.
Oh, rude.
Boys will be boys.
Classic. Right?
I'm just not good at picking up other people's lies. I will
that
get there.
Is and autism.
But I'm just willing to fuck up.
That is autism.
That is clinical. Yeah.
But my thing is, but I'm the same, because if someone says something to me, like, oh my God, okay, you can cut this out.
You are very literal.
Racist,
but both, I, of you. Both of you are very literal.
Someone came up to me and was like, at uni, they were like, I'm from Trinidad. And I was like, no way, that's so cool. And they were like, we live in mud huts. And I was like, do you? And he was like, no. And I was like, but you said that you did.
Mm.
And so I was just like, oh, I don't know.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I need, if people are doing sarcasm, I need them to really put on the voice.
We live in mud huts. And I was like, do you? Well, I was like, also, I was like 19
Alice
years old.
I was like, God, a Trinidad accent isn't what I thought it was.
I was like,
no, I didn't.
He is from Trinidad.
That was me taking the piss.
See, this is all just too confusing for the beginning of the podcast.
Anyways,
hey,
welcome.
Alice,
am I cancelled now?
Yeah, probably.
I was 19.
Did you hear Alice on the Odd Jobs podcast saying people in Trinidad live in mud huts?
So he said that they did. So I was like, oh, did you? And he was just like, no. And I was like, well, if you tell me something, I'm just going to believe. Like,
listen, I'll deny or I'll support any foreigners making fun of English ignorance.
I was just like, oh, I'm gonna know.
Do you know what I mean?
I think the worst part is he said, I'm from Trinidad. And I said, as in Tobago. That's why I actually said, as in Tobago. Like some sort of fucking anthropologist from the 50s.
Okay, Alice India, welcome to the Odd Jobs podcast.
Right, we have Alice India, ADHD Comedy Award winner.
Northbridge Media Comedy Writing Award nominee.
Comedia Comedy Launchpad finalist.
Leicester Square New Comedian of the Year finalist.
Ayo. And two North Down New Comedian of the Year finalist.
Ayo.
Also, previous housemates are both me and Ruby Carr.
Ayo.
Alice India.
Which one do I think? think, which one was I better at, Two North Down or Living With You?
Living With Us.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I was very aggressive about you all being in the kitchen at the same time. I was very boundaried.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Always the finalist. But it
was
bride,
your bedroom was the bedroom to hang out in.
That is true, but it was also the biggest.
Ruby found everyone's bedroom, apart from Lou's generally, the bedroom to hang out in. As I think we've already said on this podcast
before,
we've
already said
that I've more than once came out of the shower. You're sharing this experience.
She did that to me.
In the bed. You yep. come out your bed, you come out of the shower, and you find in your bed Ruby Carr.
I thought we had said goodnight, went for a piss, came back. She's in my bed.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone to
Ruby's like, Alice's room was the room we hung out in. I was like, Alice didn't consent to that.
No, I didn't. We had a rule in the end that it was yeah. the door. But the door would sometimes, just because the house was falling apart, the door would sometimes just be open. Yeah. I'd be too lazy to get up and close it.
But you the way how you got rid of me is you go, I love you so much, and I'd be like, oh, okay, and I'd
I love you
out.
So much, but
I had been Pavlov dogged into if you tell me that you that love me, I
if you say I love you so much at the start, it's less me when I'm like, I love you so much, you need to get away from me.
Yeah. Do you know what I feel like we never actually really addressed in that house? I feel like it was mentioned once and then we never came up to it again, and we really should have, was that at Alice's room, obviously some previous tenant or the owners, there was a padlock situation on the outside of that door.
And it had children's stickers on the window.
Yes, yeah. So that as in someone could have locked that door. It was like a latch and a hook situation, so that you would have put like a padlock through it to lock that door from the outside.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever discussed that enough and how fucking creepy that was.
Yeah, because it was definitely a children's room, because there were literally like children's like Superman stickers and like monster stickers.
Yeah.
But if it was on the inside, we would never see Alice.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
That's what I want. As
we coaxed you out of that room every now and again. Anyways.
Sorry, hello.
Alice, you are a very accomplished comedian.
That's very kind of you to say.
Writer.
Yeah.
Ruby knows something that some other people know.
You're not allowed to know yet.
Just contractually.
Yeah.
Can we say that you've just can we just say that you've had a cool day today?
Yes.
I have had a cool writer. Day. I have had a nice cool day.
She's
today.
In the business.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We're very pleased.
But we don't want to hear about that, actually. We don't want to hear about your success, right?
Oh.
Where you've been today and who you've been meeting. Yeah. I want to hear about your failure. No, we want to hear about all the odd jobs that brought you to where you are now. Like, all, and we know, having been, you know, close friends of yours for many years, that it has been a storied path.
It's a range.
Ranging.
I've got range.
So
we want to know, what was the first way that you earned money?
Start at the very beginning.
My first paid job was...
Doesn't have to be a job, by the way. Any form of generation of money.
Oh, trust me.
Okay.
And I do.
I would have been
you
in
shouldn't.
Primary school, and my job was to take my mum's tongs into the garden and pick up snails and throw them into next door's garden. Not the neighbours who are like family, but the other neighbours. And my dad would pay me 10 pence per snail. But the thing is, like, obviously... those snails came back.
Yeah.
And so it was like my own cyclical economy that every week I would make about £5 to £10 on snails.
Whoa, that's 100 snails.
Yeah, that is like not, that's not like a crazy amount.
That's an insane amount of snails growing to be doing.
One, I live in Wiltshire. Two, we had
the
a garden.
Snail capital of the world. Why is Wiltshire?
That's what they're saying.
I'm from the countryside of Ireland. I'm familiar with snails.
We have a wonderful rubber industry as well.
Oh, okay.
No, we don't anymore. Kate Checker is from my hometown.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that a bit of fun? We went to the same
friend
school.
Friend of the pod, Kate Checker.
But what am I trying to say? Oh, so yeah, the snails. There were like hundreds of snails, because it didn't matter what size they were.
Okay.
And then I would chuck them.
And... what was your mother growing something that the snails were getting in the way of? Because I know they're like divils for lettuce or like vegetable patches.
My dad goes through like phases of being really into gardening, and then sort of gets bored of it and disappears and does leather working or whatever the fuck.
Cycles through hobbies.
Because he is also autistic. Mm-hmm. And so he, that's just what I did for like a month.
How did you prove, because you're throwing the snails away, how did you prove how many snails you had thrown?
That's actually another really good question. I think initially I was putting them in a bag or something.
Okay.
And so they were just getting bagfuls of snails over the wall?
No. And I would like I'd show it to my dad, and I think
that's psychotic, I think
that's biological warfare.
Imagine the neighbour being like, I don't know what it means, I think it's a threat.
Well, they were like
a bag full of snails in the back of the garden.
I think the people next door to us, well, originally there was no one living there, so there was like an old broken down crumbling bakery, and then some like investor or something turned it into like a house of sorts.
Okay.
So it was like, we used to call it, like me and my friends would call it like the wilderness. But then people moved in and I still did it.
Okay. And let me guess, what were relations like with that neighbor?
I don't know if they know that it happened. Okay. And it's interesting because one of them was a keen gardener, but I don't.
That's so mean. That's
I don't know. No one. Yeah, it never occurred to me that it would be a problem. I'm still. I would like. I sort of wish I could. A bit like in like Animal Crossing. I sort of wish I could still go home and pick up snails for my dad for money.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Pick up
yeah.
seashells and like weeds.
I also think that poor snail, because obviously snails don't move very fast. No. So it's just having horrifying. Its existence, and then suddenly,
completely different.
The fastest it's ever moved.
Well, I don't know, because birds eat snails, don't they?
Yeah, but yeah. That's the moment before death. This snail gets to move. And then continue living.
Do you know what weirdly really reminds me of? You guys, this is going to dip into my previous careers as a nanny. But have you ever watched Stickman?
Yeah.
And when I say watch, Stickman is a Julia Donaldson book, but it got made, BBC made these like lovely little like animations. Mm. And Stickman gets like picked up by a bird and carried away from his family loads. And then Stickman's got to try and like, he floats down a river. Like I even as an adult, I'm always like, how the fuck is he going to make that journey back? He's miles away.
It's just like the next
He's
generation.
Never going to see his kids again.
Oh, he's a father.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Man's got a whole family.
I feel like it's a bit like, it's like the modern equivalent of like Animals of Farthing Word, but they've like toned it down.
Right. Yeah.
Do you watch Animals of Farthing Word?
No.
Harrowing.
Yeah, I feel like, is this on the BBC or something?
It was like a BBC like conservationalist cartoon about woodland creatures. Oh my God. Yeah. I don't think I could ever have coped with, Watership Down, because I couldn't cope with Animals of Farthing Wood.
But do you remember when we were kids, things were sad, like The Fox and the Hound,
terrifying.
Bambi,
yeah.
Lion King, Mufasa dies in a very fucking vicious way.
Time.
Literally gets murdered. The Land Before Time.
I don't know if you guys have watched Coco, but that is very sad.
I mean, sort of.
Coco. It's the one with the guitar.
Dia de los Muertos. Yeah.
No, that is very sad.
It is, but it's also quite beautiful and like.
It's done in a way that's supposed to help you manage.
No one actually dies in it. He like. It's about memory and like. Death. He like visits his
keeping
dead things, but
she's gone. It's done. It's over. She's out.
So sad.
It is, and it is. Maybe this is why Disney.
Well, no, I think, but I think the Disney thing.
But
is,
I'm like, it's good.
They're
for
trying
kids to
see
death.
Yeah, it's about sort of like teaching like coping mechanisms, how things can stay alive through memory and things like that. Whereas Animals of Farthing Wood is like pheasants getting fucked.
Okay,
and
I
you have
seen
to
it.
Deal with that.
No, it's like there's a bit where like an adder is trying to steal a. pie, and then the pheasant tries to stop him. He gets shot by a farmer.
An adder, like a snake.
Yeah, there's a snake involved. The snake is obviously a suspicious character.
Yeah,
but still comes with everyone because everyone's welcome.
They were typecasting.
Yeah, and of course
wood.
A fox is the leader. There's like a little kestrel. I learned so much about woodland birds.
So, anyways,
what do they teach you about snails on that?
Yeah,
nothing. There are no insects on Animals of Farthing Wood.
Fair. Okay. So that's why you felt absolutely fine about fucking them over the wall.
Thing is, now I think I would over empathize with this now, because when I was a child I didn't have empathy, whereas now I have learned empathy. Yeah. Because of autism, but not
so. That was your first generation of money. You say you earned like £5 to £10.
Yeah.
Wow. And what were you buying with your £5 to £10? What age were you? 10 years of age?
Yeah, probably like 10. I was probably buying like. Probably just like the same now, like fizzy. The same thing I would buy now if you gave me a tenner, fizzy drinks and chocolate.
And sweet treats.
Fizzy drinks, chocolate, a bath bomb. Like that's what I would
buy. She is just a girl.
It's just like, I can't help my biological. Yeah. We're actually biological essentialists on this podcast. I'm the only biological essentialist non-binary person.
You're
in
a non-binary
the world.
Adult, but at heart. Just a girl or a boy. Womb. Actually, I feel like Monster and Lando Norris is very boy of you.
This is my gender.
This is the fluidity of gender. I was about to say the pink microphone and the monster, the Lando Norris monster is your gender.
Blue and pink. The cable is the blue one.
Oh, there you go. Did we do that consciously for our
no,
first?
Normally,
no,
normally
not
I
first.
Like that one. Oh. I like the pink one. But I went for purple because I like purple too.
Okay, yeah.
I support Ukraine. That's why I've got the yellow and the blue here.
Of course.
And Europe.
And I don't, so yeah, obviously. Famously.
Okay, so that was the first way you ever earned money. Okay, what do you think was, if you were asked in an interview, right? If you were asked in an interview about your biggest weakness, what would you say? And then what would the real answer be?
My greatest weakness. I would say my greatest weakness in an interview is, like, I would say that I'm, like, too emotionally invested in what I do, and I care too much.
That gets good responses?
I think so. I always worry that it makes me sound like I'm going to cry all the time, and I do.
good to lay the groundwork.
Because actually it is a bad thing, because I am very much like a raging, just consistently frustrated person. But my real weakness is theft.
Okay, talk to me about this. This is something I can get on board with.
I've been a thief for as long as I can remember. I have very vivid memory of being told off by my dad for stealing a Playmobil horse from nursery school because it had bendy joints at the legs, and I was like, well, that is something special.
Also, I feel like you're allowed to steal stuff from play school.
I was a horrific thief, though. Like, I was stealing money. I was stealing, like, stuff. I was stealing from my brother. I was stealing from my friend.
From what age?
Probably three. Really? That I can remember.
Is that song?
Like a magpie?
I want it.
Your Ariana Grande, basically.
I don't know.
I see it. I want it. I like it. I got it.
I got, like, a real...
Just because you brought it up, I put that, would you believe, in my friend's wedding ceremony when I was officiating, because I was talking about how Caitlin, a listener of the podcast, shout out Caitlin, she basically met Ed, who was in a relationship, and she was like, him, I want him. And she saw it, she liked it, she won it, she got it. And then at our wedding, I was like, as the great prophet Ariana Grande would say. And it was a great wedding. You might think, like, what the fuck? What,
like,
are you
doing, bringing up the, like, adulterous way they met at the wedding?
It wasn't adulterous. It was all above board. She just met him and was like, him. And then when she heard he was single, swooped straight. Yeah.
Well, that's none of my business.
Timeline might be slightly murky. They're married now. And I officiated it, so it's legit. Yeah.
So in the eyes of God, it's absolutely fine.
Well, the eyes of God were not there on the ceremony I officiated. But the eyes of the law.
What was the most, like, what was the smallest thing you stole? Like, just petty, like, I'm just going to take that.
Oh, when I was at uni, I went for drinks at someone's house and just stole this little, like, resin bunny rabbit. I put it in my underwear and just walked away.
A resin bunny rabbit? Oh, like a wee, like, ornament?
Yeah, just like a little resin bunny rabbit. It was like, I was like, this is a story. And so I stole it, put it in my underwear. Then we got thrown out. They were like,
I mean, that's not the type of rabbit most women were sticking down.
Thank you. I was there going, ding, 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 ding. How do I get this together? What's the line? And then you go in there.
Good. There you go.
I'm famously not a vibrator girly, but...
famously.
But I don't know. I was like, this will be a story. But the thing is, like, I was deeply undiagnosed autistic and was not very good at making friends and was borderline alcoholic. And so I was like a real problem. And so they got annoyed at us and threw us out anyway. And to this day, we still don't... I mean, not that I speak to these people, but, like, they fucking hate all of them.
I checked him recently.
Gave them a call. One of them's a mother. She was like, how'd you get this number? You were not invited to my wedding.
Turned up to school pickup.
Just like, do you remember that? But we got kicked out and it was like a whole thing. And then the next day I was just like, I don't know why I've done this. And I just DM'd the girl. I was like, look, I've stolen your little resin rabbit. I don't know why I did that. Can I bring that back to you? And she was like, yeah, that's really weird that you did that. And I was like, okay, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We all do.
You give it back?
Yeah, I didn't tell her it touched the inside of my labia, but
oh no,
That's the smallest thing I've ever done.
Smallest thing. How has it ever gotten you in trouble? The life of theft.
Yeah, because I was constantly getting caught by my parents stealing money from them.
Oh, like, well, I think that's kind of.
It was just it was endemic. It was like real.
Oh, okay.
It was like it was chronic, but I still to this day I'm like I have no real, because if I'd asked for something I probably would have. I just wanted to steal. Like Derren Brown, famous, and he's fine.
Wait, Derren Brown is...
Derren Brown was like a kleptomaniac.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if he still is.
No,
it's none of my business.
I can't say I'm familiar with any of Derren Brown's lot.
I feel like I shouldn't chat shit about Derren Brown because he could come and convince me to like jump off a cliff or something. But like...
be really easy to do it to Ruby.
If you jump off this cliff, everything will be fine.
Ruby, I just jumped off the cliff. It was fine.
Okay, this is... I'm literally just a girl with OCD.
I'm just a girl.
Like, that's mean.
But yeah, no, I got arrested when I was 15. I'm technically banned for life from Boots.
I was going to say, develop into actual shoplifting?
Oh my God, yeah, no, I was a menace.
Would you ever sell any of the things you shoplifted?
No,
it didn't become a commerce? You didn't become entrepreneurial about...
Kim Kardashian.
Your klepto.
just would steal stuff. I still don't really know why. I still occasionally will steal things for kicks, but like not very often. I'm too scared now, I think.
What did you steal from Boots that got you banned?
There was like, God, back in the day when you couldn't keep lipstick on, they sold this little tiny vial of like, it was almost like a nail varnish brush of like something that was meant to keep your lipstick on for longer. It was also a matte. Not MAC, maybe
like a stain, like a lip stain,
like
or
a, it was
something.
Like a coating that you put over your lipstick. It tasted like petrol, like it was hell.
Oh god.
And then I got a Maybelline like Superstay lipstick type thing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I remember. Oh, and I'd stolen a load of, I'd been up and down the high street, so I'd stolen a cardigan that I told them was my real cardigan and they let me keep it, the police. But actually it was an M&S cardigan back when everyone was wearing those really long.
Wait, so on one day you went on a real spree?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
And where did you get caught?
In Boots.
And was it like CCTV, police called, parents notified?
A man, the thing went off and then a man put his hand on my shoulder and it was the craziest thing because I like felt my body compress from the fear and I was like, oh, that's how people piss themselves, like out of fear. And then I was wearing the most ugly outfit. I still think about that. That's the bit I cringe the most at, is the ugly outfit. My mum the other day was like, do you feel bad about that? And I was like, no.
People who weren't raised Catholic are so interesting to me because I'm like, that's what you felt shame and guilt about. And that was the first time that you felt.
Alice has a.
I'm a walking embodiment of shame and guilt, just not for that.
Yeah, but this is what, yeah.
I mean, who's the person on your necklace?
It's St. Jude. The holy relic fell off though, the little.
Patron saint of lost causes.
Yeah.
That's what you are,
babes.
I
like his lore because apparently the reason he's the patron saint of lost causes is because he turns up when people won't pray to him because they're scared that Judas will turn up and help them. And they're like, they don't want anything to do with Judas. And apparently that's why he's the lost causes. But also the patron saint of police officers. So who I've had too many run-ins.
Who has many a day with you.
And
so you're just
point.
Like, next time I get nicked, they'll be like, oh, she's one of us. She's got our boy around her neck.
I swear I didn't throw this
glasses
at his
head office.
But yeah, so.
But wait, hand on the shoulder, crease in. Mm. Is that a Boots security guard?
Yeah, he was like, but apparently he was like the high street security guard. And I used to see him around. And I didn't go into Boots for ages because I was like really scared. And then.
But wait, what happened? Did he drag you into like a room? I don't know why I'm envisioning it to be like.
He was sort of like quite a burly man, so I wasn't gonna like run. Also, I was wearing, again, this very ugly outfit. Yeah. I was wearing
heels.
Do
you want to describe the outfit? I feel like it wasn't that bad.
It was bad. It was like these like high silver, like court shoe heels, black tights.
You were wearing silver heels?
I have no idea. I think I thought I was like. Anyway.
Okay.
And then I was wearing like a sort of layered, it was one of my favorite skirts. It was like a black and white polka dot, one of those layered like rah-rah skirt, mini skirts.
Yeah.
I was wearing it high-waisted, obviously. And a purple Jack Wills t-shirt that said Jack Wills in big letters and a grey cardigan and a little grey beret.
A beret.
Okay, and I had curled my hair that day.
See, this is the thing. If you're going to go on a stealing spree, you've made yourself very noticeable.
I was about to say.
What, because I was
the opposite of
so fashionable. They were like, she doesn't need to steal. She's very cool.
But yeah, what happened? The burly man.
So he then called the police. Then a really grouchy woman came in and like glared at me. I was like, what did you steal? And so I like told her and she was like, oh. And I was like, okay, you sell it. Like, I was
like, wait, a woman from Boots?
Yeah, she was just this like very sour looking woman. And okay. I appreciate that. I was like one of 1,000 teenagers she'd probably had to deal with that week. But yeah, and then they called the police. Then I went with the police. My friend was there. She was also stealing, but she didn't get caught.
Suspect her when...
No, even though she also had like a handbag full of stolen shit. I don't know how she got away with it. Then they went through my bag and tried to work out which things I'd stolen, which were things I hadn't. And I lied about half of them. So I was like, the blue cardigan, I said, no, that's mine. It wasn't, it was from M&S.
Had you already taken the tags off and everything?
It didn't have tags on it, which is why I stole it.
M&S.
Because sometimes they don't. Sometimes someone will forget, right? Mm. And then there was like a bracelet from like Claire's that was like these little like enamel... not enamel, like plastic roses. It was like very 2010s.
Yes.
It was bad. So I kept some of it. I was like, yeah, no, I think that's mine or whatever. I don't know. And then they called my mum and she cried. Oh. I felt more, so when my mum asked me, like, did you feel bad about that? I was like, not really. I was like, I felt bad that you were upset, but I didn't feel bad about like any other part of it.
Yeah. Well, there were corporations like, who were fine at the end of the day.
They were like, people lose their jobs because of theft. And I just was like, but these people mean nothing to me.
I know what you mean. So biggest weakness is theft.
Yes. Although I would like to say, as I currently have a side hustle in retail. I do not currently steal, but what I do is I'm very laissez-faire with my samples.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just making myself some. If I'm making a sample for a customer, you better believe I'm making a sample for myself.
One for you, one for me. Fair.
Unless, of course, I'm deathly allergic to the specific sample, in which case I will not. But yeah, otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Because I don't want... The thing is, I've been in trouble with the police now too many times, and so I'm no longer like the cute, like, what am I like? It's like, no, I will probably... be charged. So now I pay for bags.
I refuse to pay for a bag.
I got caught.
Is that because you're still taking them or because you bring a tote bag with you?
I would 9 times out of 10 I have my own bag with me. But if I need one of the bags, I'm like, you can get fucked.
Well, for a while they were giving money to charity. I actually bought one, stopped doing that.
Yeah, exactly. I bought one the other day because I was in B&M and B&M. I'm new to it as a concept because one's set up near me and it's also an English store that I wasn't familiar with their game.
They're great.
But big fan of that's a shop you can just fucking wander in.
Yeah.
You can just lose some time in that shop. But it was only humans on the checkout.
Oh.
And so if I wanted a bag, I had to pay for one. And do you know what? I was absolutely fine with that. Because it was going towards that nice person's salary. I was like, that's fine. Yeah. But if you're not going to put a human on the fucking tills, I'm not giving Tesco. Tesco, who are making record amounts of profit when people are in a cost of living crisis. No, I'm not giving you money for a fucking bag.
I can't. Fucked. Even like Aldi now, I go in there and I'm like, oh. It's like, I can't afford this.
Yeah, I know.
It's bad.
Anyways.
Right, so Alice, who was your favourite co-worker?
Ever. My favourite co-worker is Mrs. H. Goodteacher, a.k.a. Hannah. We started training to be teachers together back in like 2019. And
we should say, one of your many previous jobs was being a teacher.
I'm also technically a teacher now, but my DBS is taking too long. So I'm not currently teaching, but I am a teacher. Yeah, to be fair, I need to stop admitting my crimes in public forums.
I like that you're like, my DBS is taking a while. It's like, well, you have mentioned.
Well, I got an email today being like, yeah, there's been an issue with the local police. And I was like, oh, fuck, it's finally come up. they're finally sick of me. Or maybe they've seen my comments on TikTok and they're like, the police are now like, add it to the DBS.
You're like, but my necklace, guys, St. Jude.
St. Jude. Mrs. H. Goodteacher is my favourite co-worker because we started training to be teachers together. So when I turned up to Brighton Uni to do my PGCE, immediately fell in love with this girl. Like I could, like I just was like, this is like, I have never believed in soulmates. And then I met Hannah and she moved out of London recently. And every now and again, I will text her and be like, a piece of me is missing, which is very dramatic. And she probably hates it because she's very avoidant. But like, but like she absolutely, like she's
that's
like,
that's a lot to put on someone.
She's like a real classic, like ADHD will not text you back for 6 months person. But like, here she is. And here she is. I've had to now send a text to Catherine and be like, this is not a dig, but here's a meme about you not texting me.
Yeah. And did I reply?
You did. But also, then I felt bad. Then I felt bad because you replied. I was like, no, I wasn't actually asking you to reply. I just thought it was fun. But anyway.
No,
so,
it's fine. I get, like, if you've seen a meme about someone, like, not texting back, trust me that 5 people have sent it to me. And it's not okay, and I'm genuinely trying to get better at it because I get that it's rude, but I just want people to understand that it is, like, it is all in every friendship group dynamic, family. Like I am the problem, but that it's same one, so it's not personal. Okay, so Hannah.
Yes. Hannah. What makes Hannah such a good coworker?
I think it's because she doesn't take herself too seriously.
Wait, but can I ask? Did you and Hannah actually work together or study together?
So this is the miraculous thing. So I don't know if it was like divine intervention because I met her at uni and I was like, that's the coolest person I've ever met in my life. But she like made friends with other people and I was like, ugh, I hate that. And I'm a very grabby friend. Like I'm very possessive. Like once I like someone, I'm like, you belong to me. So I have to work on that. But we were all like trying to get our placements and stuff. And I had loads of like mental health stuff. So I like, they put me in like the most batshit school they could find. And then Hannah, I think.
Batshit and batshit.
Literally. And like Hannah joined late or she was going to be a nurse. And then she decided to be a teacher. That classic combo. Mm-hmm. And so she got in late and then she didn't know what her placement was going to be. And then I found out at the last minute that we had the same placement and I felt like a criminal. I was like, yeah, I guess we could just like walk together or something. In the mornings if you wanted to. And then we were just like inseparable the whole time on our placement, like to the point where both of our mentors were saying like, you need to stop spending time with each other because you're actually dragging each other down. As teachers, and I had like, I was
iron sharp as iron. Yeah, but a dull sword dulls a sword.
It was just like, yeah, it was bad. But like, we would like, we were constantly getting in trouble. And then by the end of our placement, the person in charge of like the trainee teachers on that at that school hated us so much that she could no longer be professional and hide it. And she would say to the other trainees, just like, I cannot wait for those piss take trainees to leave.
Oh my God.
She was like, the rest of you are fine, but those, like the English, those English trainees are piss takers. They're like, they're taking the mic, they're useless.
For clarity, the subject you taught was English. Yeah.
She wasn't me.
She was like, those fucking English.
And that person was Kat Higgins.
Kat Higgins, anti-English all the way through.
But yeah, but it got so bad. And the thing is like, we were both very committed to what we were doing, but we also just like didn't see it as like, the fucking be all and end all. And the problem with teaching is it makes itself the be all and end all, which is like a whole other thing. See my bold spot for details. I can't explain to you. Like she is, she's scatty and very undiagnosed ADHD and just like mad and a little bit avoidant, but she's like, I cannot express to you how our like souls merge. And then we worked together again. So after I went through a horrible breakup and needed to get away from a boss that was like bullying me, she got me a job at a university and we were working together. And honestly, I was like, I feel like a whole person again. Like, yeah. Moved to Derby and a piece of me died.
That's so nice.
So like, she's the best coworker I've ever. Not that we were like especially efficient together.
Like, it sounds like you were
every like every day that we were both in on the same day. I was like, I could have gotten up like 3 hours early if it meant I could.
There's nothing better than when you're like on shit. Like whenever you know you're gonna be like my pals.
You got a good shift because you got the right people in around.
Yeah. Because she's also like a thoughtful person. She's like incredibly kind. She's incredibly empathetic. Like she'll like talk you through things. Like she listened to me talk about my ex like a million times a day. Like and the same stuff over and over again. She like taught me the stuff about the job that we were doing at this like uni, like just my girl.
I won't say, I think that's probably the most wholesome answer we've ever had on
podcast. I would go as far as to say that I'm like romantically in love.
Yeah. For the listeners listening, we've just realized that Alice has been full naming and her favorite
geographical locationing.
They work in with children, so we're gonna gonna have heard some beeps. And that was for,
which, again, ruins the tone of the wholesomeness of the answer. Yeah. Just like, wholesome, beep.
Beep. So anyway, I'd like to beep.
Yeah.
But the romantic thing. So when she left London, or was it when she left London? Or when she, I can't remember. She was doing something. Basically, we had to like separate at some point. I genuinely called the Samaritans because I was like, I don't know how to like cope with the fact that I was like, and I was like, I just sort of want to know if you think that I might be in love with my friend, because I think I might be like, is this like romantic? Like, am I like attracted to her? And the person, the Samaritans, was so uptight. She was like, you can love someone without it being sexual. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go now, because I was like, I haven't actually mentioned sex once, but she was really like, it doesn't need to be sexual. Sometimes you can just be friends. And I was just like, you seem upset.
She seems like there's something else going on.
It
sounds like she's been watching a lot of TV and she's like, why? What's all this woke flake nonsense? Hannah Beep. Hannah Beep of Beep.
Let's go together. Amazing. Yeah. Can I ask, then this, I feel like we've anticipated, listeners, will be, I believe, a Patreon answer.
You know it.
Yeah. I'm vaguely familiar with this. So for those of you listening to the main podcast, you're going to hear a sharp edit, but sign up to our Patreon and you'll be able to hear the very good story.
It's worth
We'll give you the question. We won't give you the answer. What is the most inappropriate thing you've seen happen at work?
Cut.
You cut off. And we're back. Trust me, that was the most inappropriate, I think, things that have ever been said.
It was a great answer to the question. And then we got some good lore from all of us as well.
Lore of our time as housemates. And then also just, I think, general information around one of your many...
I don't think I should be allowed to work with children, the more I think about it.
Yeah. And that...
I won't lie.
That's
and if you want to understand... I won't lie. I think we need to ensure...
Black and soul.
Yeah, if you're wondering why Alice's DBS is being held up, sign up to Patreon. All the answers are there.
It's because there's someone in the DBS centre having to listen to all of these podcasts you're on, piecing it together.
Yeah, he's just like, I can't believe she's admitting this in public.
Okay, so what is the weirdest thing someone has ever said to you while being at work?
Okay, so there's probably lots of things, but the one... No. So I think the weirdest thing that anyone's ever said to me whilst I was at work was when I was like 18, I worked at the local Budgens. Nice. RIP. Budgens. Actually, I think there are still some Budgens. Budgens is like, I don't even think you'd,
is
no
it,
one's,
is that a hotel no or a holiday
no,
place?
No, it's like a supermarket. No one's going to Budgens. Like, no one's like, oh, I must pop into Budgens.
It's, but it's like a, it's like,
it's Morrison's it energy.
Like, oh, it's shop. Like a shop.
Yeah, it's a supermarket.
Oh, like a food shop.
Yeah. Yeah. You get them
you
a lot.
You look really
you
unsure.
Get a lot they're of not super, they're, petrol stations.
Yeah.
Oh, is it like a Spar? Do you have Spars in this country? Yeah, no. Or Londis, maybe?
It's close. It's somewhere between a, like a Londis and a Morrison's.
I would say in Ireland, it's probably a Centra. For any Irish
for the international listeners.
Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, so when I went to Budgens, I was like 18 years old. Oh my God, I used to say inappropriate things at work as well. Like one time, a guy, I'm like, I was never like-
The weirdest thing someone said at work. You're like, it was me.
It was me.
I like how we were just like, Alice shouldn't have passed a UBS. And now I was like, actually, here's some more inappropriate shit.
Well, I don't think I was ever like super uncomfortable about talking about sex. And then someone came in to buy condoms on like a random like Tuesday or something. He was like, yeah, can I just get some like tobacco or whatever? Like, oh, this Red Bull. And then he was like, oh, and can I just get like just a pack of condoms, just normal condoms? And I went, ooh. And I was like, what? And I immediately, and I stopped and I went, I don't know why I did that. And he was like, I don't know why you did that. And then we both just looked really embarrassed. And then I couldn't stop laughing throughout the, and at one point I think I got on the floor because I couldn't stop laughing. Like, it was really
poor
bad.
Guys, just, no, it's hard enough and I was to like, get I'm men so to wear sorry. Condoms at the best
no, literally,
of times.
I was like, I'm so sorry because I don't want to make you feel weird about buying condoms. But like, I don't know why I said it. But so.
Because you were 18.
Well, because I was 18.
Yeah.
But I just, it was like, it was almost like an intrusive thought about yeah. like, say it.
Yeah.
But I, but no, so the weird thing that happened there was a man who came in. So he came, he would come in all the time. Like, you'd get to know the regulars. Yep. And you're 18, so you're a target. you're just a target.
You're like a woman in
whether it's, it's not even, it's, I wouldn't even call it sexual harassment. You're just a target.
Yeah, because you don't know.
Yeah.
You're just a...
I'm just a dumb bitch.
Perceived young woman.
Someone has
in
put me...
customer service yeah, facing yeah. role.
I am just yeah. the gatekeeper between you and your condoms. That is it. And frankly, at the age of 18, I was such a like menace that I was trying to fuck most people that came in. So it was like a whole thing. And I did. Twice, but
again, your DBS is pending.
And one of them, so I was 19 at the time, and one of them was a 32-year-old English teacher who taught students who were like only about 6 months younger than me.
No,
yeah, it was bad. He also like, I think he thought he was like Errol Flynn, but then he had to get his mum to pay for our holiday to Cornwall. Anyway, so
a 32-year-old man. Has
bearing in mind that
I am
currently 31, and my mum has to pay for my holidays to Cornwall, but not that
yeah,
I'm going
to
Cornwall.
You're not going with 18-year-olds.
Yeah,
the
no,
local
because
shop.
18-year-olds are thick as shit.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah. I've been banging the customers, but no. But this guy used to bring me like mojitos to work. That was pretty good. I think I was being groomed. But can you be groomed at 19? Anyway, so
yeah.
A different man, the man who looks like the man from Shaun the Sheep, okay. would come in all the time. We sort of knew him. He was a bit odd, but he was fine. In the grand scheme of men who came into that shop, he was like probably one of the least offensive. But he once said to, I don't even know how it came up. We were talking about the end of the world. I think maybe it was like nearing that like Mayan calendar thing or something.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Or it was like in the news.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he said, he just sort of, there was like a pause. In fact, I don't even know if we were having an in-depth conversation. He just said that I would leave a beautiful corpse. And I didn't, and
you
not
looked
even,
away from the mic when you say that. So I'd just like you to say that one more time into the microphone, please.
I don't know if there was a deep conversation because I can't remember. But what I do remember about the conversation is that he told me.
What did he say?
He said that I would leave a beautiful corpse.
Yeah, good. Just want to make sure everyone heard that.
A beautiful corpse.
But not even in like a threatening, like I didn't even feel threatened. I sort of felt kind of charmed by it. But I also was an autistic and slightly
like
traumatized
you.
Teenager.
I don't like it. I don't like this man.
Why is he imagining you dead?
Yeah.
Also like, I
feel like I must have said something like, I hope I die. Or like, just a classic Alice line. But like...
Yeah, but you don't say I wish you were dead
too,
because you look prettier.
I think he said it in a really matter of fact of like, well, you'd leave a beautiful corpse. And I was just like...
Had this man ever called... Was he the type of vibe that he was calling you beautiful?
No.
In general. So I'd never we called you beautiful, only called you a beautiful corpse.
When I was 18,
You look better lifeless.
No, I don't think you say
you'd look better if you would stop talking.
I don't.
Yeah.
To be fair, that probably would have helped me in that job. But like, I found because I was such a straight, I don't know if other weird and possibly neurodivergent 18-year-olds have this, but like when I was like between the ages of like 12 to like 21, older men between the ages of like 40 to 65 fucking vibed with me. Like, we just vibed. It wasn't even necessarily, like, sometimes it was pervy, but a lot of the time it just wasn't. I just, because I was into things like planes and World War One. And I sort of absorbed my dad's personality. And so, like, I got on really well with all of these men that were, like, in their 40s. And that's probably why I attempted to fuck every man in his 40s between the ages of, like, 18 and 25. But
I like how you said it. You were like, not even like romantically, just like we like the same things. I was trying to fuck them.
I was trying to fuck
I also like the idea that you were the predator in this scenario.
No, this is the thing. So many, because like when I was, you know, like they used to warn you about like.
I think the 32-year-old English teacher who took you to Cornwall was the predator.
In that instance, yes. But he still lives in my hometown and I can't wait. I applied for a job at his school just to fuck with him. I had no intention of working there.
Also,
but just,
you're an English teacher, so it would have been in the same department.
He probably, because he also isn't like head of department or anything like that. So he could have ended up being my NQT mentor and I would have ruined his life on purpose.
My God.
But anyway, but my point is, where was I going with this? Something about trying to fuck people in their 40s.
Well, the
sexual.
Question, just so we know, was the weirdest thing someone has said to you.
And I'm now the pervert.
Yeah.
Well, it was weird that you look.
Yeah, you'd be a beautiful
person. It's just something that stayed with me.
It's very strange as well, because even as an Irish person who I feel like English people and I have this divide where in our, like it's in Derry Girls, that famous scene where it's like you always see a dead body. So like I remember like someone once was like, have you ever seen a dead body? I was like, fucking loads. I've been to many.
If anything,
I'm head
too
altar
many.
Girl. I served at so many wakes and funerals. So it is a thing. Like Irish people would say, oh God, don't they look great? Like they're looking well. God, they look very well. And it is this thing of like, you see enough like people like open.
You can make a
funerals,
judgment. You can have a scale.
Open casket funerals. I'm like, God, that was very good. To the point where, to the point where there is like in my hometown, like it's known certain funeral homes will do a better job of making you look good than others. Like people would be like, that's the Massey brothers now. They do a great job. Like, genuinely.
Oh, that's like when my grandmother died.
But I would never say, even with that background, even being like, that funeral home does a great job with a corpse. I would never say to someone, so even with all that background, I would never say to someone, you'd make a beautiful corpse.
But I do think in hindsight, now that we've talked about my time at Budgeons, I do think maybe I was the predator.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, when you're like younger and they'd be like careful of paedophiles on the internet, they're going to try and groom you. I would try and get groomed. Like I was actively seeking a good grooming.
So you were grooming people to become groomers.
Yeah until I was 14. And
you
my
were like when the police go undercover online and pretend to be young girls, but you were the young girl.
But I was a young girl and I was trying to get groomed.
And there was no police involved.
But when I was 14, I did get briefly groomed by my German teacher who gave me placebo CDs and told me not to tell anyone. And I had this like cold feeling come over me.
Give you what?
A placebo CD.
It's not a real CD.
It's a fake CD to make you think you're listening to alternative music from the 90s. And I remember having this cold feeling wash over me.
Well, it was because when you said placebo, I immediately thought of like drugs and like drug trial, you know, like placebo effect. And I was like, I thought you said placebo ease instead of CD. So I was like,
that's even
weirder.
He gave
me fake drugs.
Yeah, that's even weirder than a placebo CD.
I know, but someone trying to groom someone, like, I don't know.
Well, anyway, so he then...
So he gave you like real ones? Or
yeah, real, legit. Oh. I think I still have them. But he said, don't tell anyone. And I immediately, the news round in me caught up.
Yeah.
And I had this cold feeling wash over me. I was like, oh no. I was like, I've got what I wanted again. But then he had sex with the girl in the year above. And I told...
How many CDs was she getting? Was she getting the real CDs?
Well, she went to his house and he showed her the film, The Secretary. But I...
Oh, no.
So I told the school...
Do you
school...
know that film?
Yeah.
I get lots of edits from that film on TikTok. But I told the school librarian and she was like, you were really brave for telling me. And I was in my head, I was like, no, I'm just jealous.
I feel like so many people listening to this are going to be like, do not let her back into schools.
Well, the thing, what's ironic now is that like safeguarding is like my thing. And it's what I'm really good at in schools. Yeah. Like that's like my thing.
You can spot them.
Because I can spot nonsense.
Takes one to know one.
But I was like, yeah, I can. But that's like now, I find it really funny that I'm now really like, the line is not blurred. It is like so rigid.
Nice. I do think like despite all of the wild stories that we've heard.
Yeah.
Alice is very good at the safeguarding stuff.
Genuinely,
side of
like,
teaching.
To point.
Actually, my safeguarding was used as a case study at one of the schools I worked at because I was so diligent. But yeah.
I feel like we should. Our last question is in hindsight, what job did you learn the most from or has been the most useful to you?
Also, it can be anything like practical skills you learned that are useful in everyday life. It can be like lessons you learned.
Can I be really earnest?
Go on.
Because yeah, I've been such a trash bag the whole time in this. I'm really worried about my
future. I think
future.
For the listeners, though, they'll have lost part of... If you're not signed up to the Patreon, they'll have lost a huge chunk of the trash.
I did talk about how I went online and tried to be groomed as a child. But then I was a child, so I'm not actually the problem there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Society
you gave a very
is the
earnest
problem.
Answer about Hannah.
Oh. Yeah. I'd die for her. Sorry, no offense. I'll safeguard you, but I won't die for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, I think that I've learned the most from teaching because I remember, so before I became a teacher, I was, I mean, I'm a messy bitch now, but like, I think my messiness was at a peak. And so I was like deep into drugs and I was drinking too much and like my life was very, very messy. And it was almost like, to use a word that's very triggering to us who lived through COVID, a circuit break, where it was like, I took so seriously the fact that I wanted to be like a safe adult for children. I like didn't drink as much. I was like going to bed like early. I wasn't, I like stopped taking drugs completely. And even though I think about it every day, I don't, because I don't ever want to be an unsafe adult for children. And I think that it just, I just grew up by like 100%, I think, from being a teacher. I'm still, I mean, imagine if I hadn't, like I'm still a dumb bitch, but like, I just think that it dragged me into adulthood in a quite an aggressive way.
Because it
think,
gave you yeah. a like, keen sense of responsibility.
Yeah, and it gave me a purpose and it gave me a reason to not be a mess and to not be a mad alcoholic, drug addict, suicidal bitch.
I mean, I think that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
And also, I do know, I as someone who lived with you, when you were teaching, you for all the jokes you've made about
aggressively, like shut up, it's 8 p.m., I'm going to bed. You're all talking really friendly downstairs, I can hear you.
Friendly is a nice word.
You're enjoying yourselves. Yeah. Some of us have eating disorders.
But you did take it really seriously, and you it was very much like about like within all the realms of like the correct boundaries, it was about being like a responsible adult for kids and also like showing up for them. Yeah. And I so think that is like, I do think like, I know a lot of people from that I grew up with who are teachers, and some of them I'm like, yeah, I know why you're a teacher. And it's because in Ireland, some people don't understand this. It's because they love playing ga and or a sport in general. And being a teacher was like, oh, I have summers off. Gaelic football is a sport that's generally played in the summers. Yeah. And also you have to train like 2-3 nights a week, but you don't get paid as a professional. So you need a full-time job to go along with it. And so I know some people who had the heart set on playing county. So they became a teacher because of that. But then similarly, and also I feel like some people I know are going to think I'm referring to one person in particular.
And you
but are. Some people I'm also like, I think they almost like didn't know when they got into teaching all the ways in which it would fill them up. And I think you're almost one of them. Right?
Yeah,
I think
for
you
sure.
were like, I'd like to be a teacher. I like English. I like whatever else. But then when you actually got into being like an authority figure in front of children, it like shifted you in a way.
Yeah, I think so. Like, not to be that guy, but I do think like teaching like changed my life for the better. And I'm not like, I'm far from like a perfect teacher. Like I used to get so tired and grouchy that they'd be like, are you grouchy again, miss? And I'd be like, yes, shush.
But have you got like a nice sentence to finish off with, just being like, yeah, I really enjoy being a teacher.
I don't think we're going to leave that in. I'm going to make an executive decision. I'm just making up. We could cut from what Ruby suggested you talk about to right now and me going, executive decision as a safeguarding issue for you and your career. We're going to cut that right out.
Do coke.
That it will help. Anything got to do with anything?
It will help you in parties.
No,
right. Not a chance.
This has been lovely.
This has
Alice.
Been absolutely
this has been so
wonderful.
Nice.
So nice to get the gang back together. Now I don't have to text back for weeks.
I am never going to hear from you again.
No, never. Thank you so much for coming on the Odd Jobs podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have anything you'd like to shout about? Talk about you. Working on any great...
I can't talk about what I'm working
on.
Contractually. but it's not SNL. because I didn't apply. But nerds. What am I trying to say? Please just follow me on the internet. Like, it's literally the only thing that matters to me right now. Please follow me on...
Oh, my God, same. I've become really obsessed.
Oh, I just don't care about anything else.
Employment.
Yes. Yeah.
It's been 5 days and now I'm like, how many followers?
Yeah, no, it makes you mad.
Yeah.
Please follow me on Instagram at popular comedian Alice India. Lovely. Or TikTok, or both. It's up to you. TikTok is Alice India Comic. I think that's two Alice India Comics. You'll know which one's the right one because one of them has videos.
Wonderful.
There you go. There we go. About okay. their time playing tambourine for corn.
All right. Thank you so much, Alice. Yeah, no. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
It is us again at the very end. Thank you so much for listening to the full podcast with the wonderful Alice India.
Ah, what a fantastic time.
Such a good time. So great to get the gang back together. Just some last minute shout outs. Again, sign up to the Patreon because trust us, you want to hear that story that we got out. Yeah. Two, we are doing a show, myself and Ruby Carr, on the 26th of November at the Rosemary Ranch Theatre, 7:30 p.m.
Yes.
Get tickets in any of the links in all of our bios.
Yes. And follow us on the and any of the socials, whatever social yes. you want, you can follow us on.
Cat.HigginsComedy, Ruby Vroom Vroom.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes.
Odd Jobs Podcasts. Like, share, follow, subscribe. Thank you so much.
Okay, that's it.
And we'll see you again.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.